It's the Big Wake Up Call. I'm Ryan Gatenby, and time for my next guest. She is a national treasure in the world of comedy, one of our best TV writers in the history of ever. Her newest book is We Saw Scenery, and it is my pleasure to chat with Meryl Marco. And good morning. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So your new book, We Saw Scenery, this made me want to find my childhood diary so much. Maybe it's somewhere at my parents' house still, but I recall mine was just crude doodles and how much I hated my classmates or how much they hated me. Yours is a little more detailed.
Well, I do have some of that.
Yeah.
I don't have that many doodles, but I did find a drawing that I put it. They used it as the end paper in the book, and I was kind of proud of it. It was a drawing I did during eighth grade English. That is a really accurate little drawing of the teacher and surrounded entirely by the words, I hate Mrs. Reed, hundreds of times all around her like a frame. I was very proud of it, and it looks exactly like her. And then you put it in the book, which is kind of a thrill for me, you know, what my eighth grade self so validated like that.
Can you briefly share with us what We Saw Scenery is and what it's about?
Yeah, well, I have, because I'm mostly a comedy writer, I save a lot of funny stuff because I think of everything as material. So I have boxes and boxes of weird funny stuff that I have to weed out from time to time. And at the bottom one of them, I found three little diaries that I've been keeping in grade school. I kept diaries all the way along, like I have them now. But I had forgotten about these. These were given to me as presents from my mother when I was about 10, 11, 12, and they're little and they have a lock and a key. Which made me laugh because I was thinking, well, what in the world could I possibly have been writing when I was 11 that locked up like that?
Yeah.
So then I thought, well, that's interesting. What I'm going to do is, since I know I turned out to be a writer, why don't I sit down and review them as an early work? I thought that might be funny. So I sat down to read them, and what I realized they were was, because I didn't understand quite what a diary was, I just wrote down every single thing I did every day, which is a thing I never do now, and it was funny to read. You know, if you had said to me, what did you do in fifth grade? I would have said, I know the teacher was Mrs. Puckett. And I think, was that Girl Scouts? No, that was sixth grade. I wouldn't exactly have been able to tell you, but now I realized I had written it all down. So then I started doing drawings of it because I had forgotten most of it. And I thought, well, I want to see what she looked like when she was in the midst of this. And as I was doing the drawings, I started showing my friends, and they all started going, well, that's a book. And I said, but it's too random. Look how random it is. I thought maybe it was a comic strip, and it would be an 11-year-old talking to you from the 60s. And then as I kept going, I started trying to organize it into a book, and then I realized I had to do a lot of other work so it wouldn't be random because I didn't want it to just be... And you know what else I did? And then I did this, and then I did that, and then here's another thing I did, and you know what else? And so I started organizing it in terms of what things you remember and things you forget, just what was going on in the bigger story arc of life and so forth. And I turned it into a book, and I illustrated it. Because I went to 6 years of art school, and I had also almost forgotten about that. So it actually ended up being a graphic novel.
One of my favorite things in the book is your younger self being annoyed by a visit from your older self, because that's exactly what would happen in the old what would you tell a younger you scenario that nobody mentions.
Oh, yeah. No, I totally would have just said to myself, you don't know everything. You think you know everything.
Yeah.
But I felt like I had to start drawing myself into the frame with my younger self at certain points. Because I was so delusional, and I thought, well, geez, what's wrong with you? Especially, it all started when I realized in fourth and fifth grade, I was in love with a Nazi, and I'm Jewish, and it didn't occur to me that he was Jew baiting me. I thought he was paying attention to me. So I just felt, well, I have to have a talk with this girl. What, is she an idiot? I know she's not an idiot. She turned out to be okay. She's pretty smart. So I started sitting down with myself in the book, and trying to straighten things out, much as you cannot, because there's no going backwards. But I haven't been in love with a Nazi in a long time, so I learned something.
Yeah, I can't imagine what's going on in the minds of fourth and fifth grade Nazis.
I think it's, obviously what you're watching is what's going on in the mind of his parents. I mean, I don't think there's much going on in your mind when you're in fifth grade.
Yeah.
It's just whatever you, and the same was true of me. I was taking a look at myself and I was realizing I was kind of a stranger. Like, I was thinking, this isn't really the way I react to stuff now. So who was I? Well, I was my mother, actually, my mother and my father and my friends. That you, until you start making some kind of definitive decisions about what your boundaries are and who you are and who you are not, which happens, they call that an identity crisis. It used to. That's puberty. That's 14 or 15. You're just a sort of a genetic blob, just sort of obeying orders and walking through things. Or I was, I think.
Do you see in your diary the moment, not necessarily the comedy writer was born, but do you see like the exact moment that you became who you are, you became less your parents and more you?
Yeah, you do. I was looking for that. And I realized some of the stuff I had always, I was always kind of a smart ass. and I was always operating out of being funny because I just always liked it. And it was the thing that was working for me, kind of play the cards you're dealt. But there was a point at which, the thing I hadn't realized, I hadn't really realized how obsessed I was with TV. I had forgotten about that because by the time I got to high school and then when I was in college, I didn't watch TV at all. It was considered very declassed to watch TV. It was classic. And I only the only thing I watched in high school and then college was maybe Monty Python and some comedians. But when I was in grade school, I was totally obsessed with TV. I was watching everything and writing it all down in my diary. I recorded every show I watched, a lot of it, and I was had all the schedule memorized and everything. And I was looking at that thinking, well, gee, that's how I wound up in TV. I was inexorably drawn since I was, 11. I was heading for media. And then at some point I started doing broadcasts in my diaries. I was talking to thinking to myself, who is she talking to? But I was trying to enter TV. I was, and the other thing I noticed that I was doing is I wasn't just watching TV. I was interacting with it. I was entering contests, and I was entering radio contests, TV contests, things on the back of cereal boxes. I was calling up radio stations. I was the annoying kid who was calling up radio stations, which I had forgotten entirely. You hear them. You must be in touch with those kids. But I was that kid. I was calling up a lot of radio stations. I was entering every contest they had. They had a lot of contests, but it's that third caller thing. I was always the third caller. I was trying to get into stuff. So then I eventually did. So that was kind of interesting to me.
Well, that's how I got into radio. I was also the annoying kid, and I called in so much. They said, kid, why don't you come down to the radio station, and we'll talk about this problem you're having.
Did they really?
They did, and then from that, I got an internship because, we got to keep this kid occupied. He won't call us anymore, and then I got on the air, and here we are.
That's really funny. Yeah, well, you used to be able to get through a lot easier, I think. I don't know what the situation is now. I actually had a talk radio show for a couple years. Right around the cusp of the change of the century, and that was fun.
Well, I just have to tell you, and one gushing fanboy thing. After years and years, I finally tracked down a copy of Late Night with David Letterman, the book, and I cannot overstate how much that book and the TV show warped and twisted high school me. And I cannot thank you enough for that.
Well. Thank you. That's very nice to know. I'm about to sell all my Late Night with David Letterman memorabilia. I started doing it about a week ago.
Yeah, I saw that.
I'm selling it and giving all the profits to charity. I sold my oldest jacket last week. I'm about to sell another one and a bunch of... I have a big box of stuff that I don't really look at, and I think it means a lot to other people. So I was thinking, well, I'll collect money, and I'll give it to all the charities that I don't have enough money to give... and they all need money right now, it's that kind of, so that's what I'm about to do. If you watch my Twitter feed, you're going to start to see a whole bunch of weird things that I say, art, the sketches and art cards and stuff, jackets and shirts and stuff. So if you're interested, go ahead and I'm going to put it on eBay.
And the new book is We Saw Scenery. That's from my guest, Meryl Marco. And it has been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Well, thank you for the nice compliments. I appreciate it.